Hello once again. My name is Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. Joining us today is Chester Gregory, who is starring through September 10th at Freefall Theater in a Motown celebration. Hello, my friend.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
What a cool show this is, and it is essentially a concert, you know, and how different is it every show? I was curious about that.
So we have structure in terms of the order of songs.
I thought so.
But how we get there and how long each song is kind of, you know, kind of up in the air. Once we, you know, stay true to the form of the song, when we get into the vamp, you know, I share stories and sporadic moments with the audience, yeah, and things like that. So, yeah.
I wondered, you know, what this is, folks, if you're unaware, and you should be aware of this, is essentially, what is it, 90 minutes or 2 hours?
Yeah, 90 minutes straight.
You're on stage with a 3-piece band and doing Motown Chestnuts, lots of stuff. We got Temptations, we got Miracles, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, and some stuff that isn't Motown was just really cool R&B stuff. You did Bobby Caldwell the other day. I think he's from Florida.
I think so.
So basically Chester and his band do this stuff, but he tells stories, and he's an amazing singer, and he's got a background which we're going to get into in a minute here. But so how did you curate it, though? How did you say, I'm going to do this, and this? I mean, is it trial and error? Like, oh, that didn't work. Were you going to do Ben at one point? Don't do that?
Well, I mean, throughout my career, I've kind of had a relationship with Motown and Motown music and things like that. And I've done various shows paying tribute to, you know, icons of that era as well as the music of that era. And so when it came time to put this show together, I sort of did a gumbo of the greats, you know, so like some of my favorite songs to sing, my favorite artists to emulate, and got the band together in 48 hours, and then boom, we were ready to go open tonight.
Well, let's talk about that before we get into your background, which is going to knock your socks off, folks. folks, trust me. So it's amazing. So there was another show scheduled that for one reason or another had to drop out.
Yeah.
Literally like 10 days ago, a week ago or something?
Yeah.
Were you in Sarasota at the time? I know. You do work down there sometimes.
No, I was in Los Angeles, California. I thought it was on Saturday morning. I thought I was going to have a vocal rest day because I had my own show, like performing music for my own album because I'm an artist as well.
Oh, yeah.
And the phone rang, and it was my friend Ren Brown, who was director of the previous show.
Yeah, sure.
He texted me a couple of times, hey, call me ASAP. And I was like, here we go. I'm not going to get a day of vocal rest before my show. All right. So I called him up, and he said, hey, so can you come down here? Like, what's going on?
Well, come down to St. Petersburg?
Wow. Yeah. And so, you know, I agreed to it. We set it up, and, you know, Monday I flew down, and Tuesday and Wednesday we rehearsed, and Thursday we were open.
Yeah, and Damon Carter, who's playing piano with you, who is an unbelievably cool player, he was playing in the other show. So he's from L.A., right?
He's part of Ren's company. He's from Los Angeles as well.
He's part of Ren's company.
Yeah, he was the MD of the previous show. So he had a whole show scored and all of that stuff. And here I come. I'm like, hey, man. So, throw all that out. We're going to do something else.
Let's do this. Did these guys, and tell me about the other guys, which I guess is EJ and Matthew was a bass player I saw the other day. Incredible band. They're Sarasota guys. So talk about a gumbo. You brought all these people together. Yeah. Have they ever played together before? I mean, Damon with these cats?
No, they never played together before. EJ, the drummer, and Matthew, the bass player, work together a lot. And I have worked together with EJ as well. EJ has been my MD several times. And also EJ recorded both of my albums. I did a Jackie Wilson tribute album, and then I did an independent album with my own music. And so I've worked with EJ for at least about 10 years now. So he knows me very well.
So, I mean, did this show exist in this sequence of songs, or did you throw it together with these guys?
No, I kind of put it together.
Throw it together is not what I meant. You know.
Right. No, I put it together with these guys in mind for sure. And just thinking of what we could do to, you know, because I didn't want to throw Damon for a loop because he and I had never worked together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you pray for chemistry, you hope for it, but it's either there or it's not. You know what I mean? And so, Damon just dove right on in, and we've been having a blast.
Man, I'll tell you what, when you did Superstition the other day, we're going to give a few tunes away here, but not all of them. when he hit that clavichord stuff on that electric piano, I was going, oh, man, this is too good.
Yeah.
That was the other thing I was thinking while I was watching it that I knew I was going to talk to you. It's like, it's just you and these guys. You don't have, as you say in the show, the big horn section. You don't have the background.
No background singers.
You don't have the big Motown razzle dazzle, but you pull it off.
Yeah.
A lot of that is the power of your voice.
Thank you. I have to, you know, you just have to dive in and command the space. And I believe it or not, I've never done these types of shows before without any background vocals. So this was also a first for me. I said, okay, all right, let's go. No looking back, you know what I mean? And so when you just, what I found is that the audience loves these types of things when they see artists kind of figure out things in the last minute and work through things and then create something new. Like one of my, you know, some of my favorite memories are when something has gone wrong in theater, you know, in the live moment, and then the audience is like, oh, okay, now how are they going to make that work? You know what I mean? And so the audience is with you. I've been in shows when, you know, there's been a rainstorm and the lights went out and we continued to do the show in the dark. The audience was with us. They loved it. You know what I mean? And so, but this one, you know, they had some time to prepare, to get used to, you know, to walk into the theater, you know, expecting something new. And they were just right along with us. And so, you know, we didn't need the horn section. We didn't need the background vocals because everybody's in there having a good time.
What
having
I thought the celebration. Was, yeah. What I thought was cool too is you know, on My Girl and, you know, What's Going On, which killed me, by the way, absolutely killed me. They were singing.
Yeah.
They did the background parts for you.
Yeah.
It's that kind of show where you're just right there in the moment, in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
With you know, and, I didn't, you know, if something went wrong the other day, I sure as hell didn't see it because it was very smooth. So listen, I was going to say that the world is now aware of two really great singers from Gary, Indiana. And we all know who the first one was. The other one is Mr. Chester Gregory here from Gary, Indiana. That's where you come from. So
that's where I'm from, yeah.
Was it music or musical theater for you? Chicken or the egg?
So it was... I saw the arts as being all encompassed. So, you know, from an early age, you know, with me, you know, growing up in Gary, Indiana, looking up to people like Gregory Hines, Sammy Davis Jr., and of course, Michael Jackson, I just always saw it as one thing. I never saw, you know, acting or music or dancing as something separate from, you know, from the arts or whatever. So
Hines, by the way, was a great singer.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that record he did with Jimmy Cobb called So Nobody Else Can Hear? It's this like jazz shuffle. Man, it's like early 80s.
But I know the song There's Nothing Better Than Love.
Oh, he was good, man.
Yeah, he's great.
So you're like, I'm going to do it all.
I'm going to do it all. Yeah. Why not? You know?
Yeah, well... Lots of people have said that, but didn't get where you got.
That is true. So I'm very grateful to my mom for, you know, putting me in lessons and things very early. And, you know, and my mom has a love of the arts. So that was very helpful as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that always helps. So you went on, I guess, to school and you got a BA somewhere.
Yeah. So I went to a performing arts high school. Then I went to Columbia College in Chicago, got a BA in musical theater. And then a few years ago, I was awarded honorary doctorate from Columbia College as well. So
what does that mean exactly? I saw that in your bio. Uh-huh. It's like, I don't have one, so I don't know what that means.
So honorary doctorate is technically an award, but you can also use it as a doctorate. Like Dr. Maya Angelou.
Oh, yeah.
Has, you know, she has an honorary doctorate.
So now, you're Dr. Gregory.
Yes, I can be Dr. Gregory.
Hey, there
Gregory.
We go.
But now Dr. Maya Angelou has 25 honorary doctorates. So I got my first one, you know. But people who have...
Got a ways to go, yeah.
Yeah, but people who have done the dissertation and all that, they kind of, you know, shun the honorary doctorates. Like, you didn't have to study, you do this, you know, you got your doctorate for life? What? You know what I mean? So it's an honor. I did ask the college, though. I said, can I use this? Can I be Dr. Gregory? And they were like, absolutely. I was like, oh, I had no idea.
So you did the Jackie Wilson show first, is that right?
Yeah, so I did it's called The Jackie Wilson Story by the Black Ensemble Theater in Chicago, Illinois. So from about the year 2000 to 2003.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember the name of the Jackie song you did the other in the show.
In the show, I did Baby Workout and To Be Loved.
To Be Loved.
Yeah.
Okay. And I saw a clip of you doing Lonely Teardrop somewhere with the background singers. Uh-huh. But why Jackie? I mean, they called him Mr. Entertainment because I know how his career ended and his life ended and stuff. Mm-hmm. So emotional. Such an emotional singer. Why were you drawn to him?
I was drawn to him sort of inadvertently through Michael Jackson. So what I learned when studying Jackie Wilson is that Jackie Wilson was Michael Jackson's biggest influence. Mm. So, you know, along with Sammy Davis Jr. and Bob Fosse, the way Michael Jackson did his turns and how he started early on, including James Brown, too, it was really just from him, you know, seeing Jackie Wilson. And when I studied Jackie Wilson for the Jackie Wilson Story, I realized I saw the connection between the two. And I just continued to, you know, sing Jackie Wilson's music and honor his legacy because he is like one of the founders of pop culture as we know it today.
Can't look away from the guy. That's my memory. So you did that starting in Chicago. Mm-hmm. That took you to other places. Isn't that what led to Hairspray on Broadway?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah,
tell me about that experience. You were Seaweed J. Stubbs.
Yes. So we did the Jackie Wilson story. It ran off and on in Chicago for 3 years. Then we went to the Apollo Theater.
Yeah.
And we ran for a month there. And then shortly afterwards, this buzz started happening in the New York Times and all that stuff. Like, who is this guy?
You know? Yeah.
And then I was seen by the producers of Hairspray, and, you know, later that year, that summer, actually, 20 years to this date, actually, is when I made my Broadway debut in Hairspray as CBJ Stubbs. And then from that, I moved on to do, you know, at least five other Broadway shows.
You did Crybaby, which is another John Waters thing, I believe. Yeah. Tell me about the other. We're going to get to Motown, the musical, in a minute, but walk me up the ladder there from what else you did.
So I did Hairspray for 2.5 years, and then I left Hairspray to do Tarzan. And so did that with Disney for about a year. And then I went to do Crybaby.
Yeah.
And then after Crybaby came Dreamgirls, and I was Jimmy Early in Dreamgirls.
That's right.
Yeah, that was supposed to go to Broadway. It did not, but we did the Apollo Theater, and that was fun. And then after
Dreamgirls, that's a hell of a role, too.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite roles.
Oh yeah.
And then after that, I did Sister Act on Broadway and did the role Officer Eddie Souther.
Wait, you did the role of Whoopi Goldberg, right?
No, right, there
sorry,
it is. Right,
sorry,
right,
folks.
Back in the habit.
Yeah.
Did that, and then that was it for a little bit, and I created my own Jackie Wilson tribute called The Eve of Jackie, which is look at Jackie Wilson, the final day before he collapsed on stage. Yeah. So how Jackie Wilson left us is he was performing on stage and he was singing Lonely Teardrops. And right when he sang the words, "My heart is crying, he collapsed. And then he went into like an 8.5 year coma, sort of in and out of a vegetative state. And then he finally passed away in January of 1984. That was also when Michael Jackson won like his 8 Grammy Awards and stuff like that. So that's when Michael Jackson was sure to mention, you know, Jackie Wilson, you know, because he was that much of an influence over him.
So the way you tell it in the show is that Berry Gordy himself came to you. Did he see you somewhere, or your agent told him about you? Or what's the truth here?
So how Berry Gordy ended up choosing me is so for a few years, they told me, I wanted to be in Motown, a musical, and I was getting emails from people, "Hey, aren't you in Motown? I'm coming to see you." I'm like, "I'm not in Motown." And other people were like, "Oh, well, you can't be in that show because, you know," well, some people from the creative team were like, you know, "You're not right for the show. You're not 6 feet, so you can't be Marvin Gaye or The Temptations."
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, "You don't have green eyes, so you can't be Smokey Robinson." And so it was all of these things, like, you're kind of in between people. And
but
so,
still, you could have sung David Ruffin. You could have sung any of those cats. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
So then after, you know, after kind of like giving up on it, I finally got a call to come in and be seen for the role of Berry Gordy.
Yeah.
And so I went in, and when I went into the audition, there Berry Gordy was in the room. And so I thought, you know, how could I?
Because he's a producer of this musical.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I thought, how can I, you know, do this, you know, my own way? And so what I did was, also being from the Midwest, I just approached it as him being like that uncle. You know, the icons that we know today, you know, Diana Ross, Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, all of them, like, they were kids out of the projects. And Berry Gordy sewed into them, you know, sort of took them under his wing and just, you know, sewed into them that they could be icons, and then they became that. And
$800
so,
he started the label with?
Yeah.
Did I hear you say that?
$800, yeah. $800 family loan, yeah. And so I approached it casual. Like, not like as this kind of like stiff exec as people, you know, thought him to be.
Right.
And I sort of like threw some like underlining jokes in there, and he caught it right away and like laughed at the audition room. And I thought,
there we go.
And then so then we,
that's it.
And then like a day or two later, I got the call. And then, you know, I've since then have had numerous conversations with Berry Gordy.
Yeah. Does Berry sing in this show?
Berry Gordy sings a lot in the show, but he does not sing in real life.
There's the magic of theater, right?
Yes.
You did. I'm not going to say what song it was. It was brilliantly done. This guy's a hell of a singer, folks. And you said, "I sang this in Motown the musical," and I thought, wait, Berry Gordy's not a singer. He's a songwriter.
Songwriter.
And this great. you know, visionary and all these things. But okay, how and you did that. You toured with it, and then you did it on Broadway, right? Isn't that the case?
Yes. So I joined Motown Musical when it was touring, and then we did the Broadway return in 2016, summer 2016, and then I went back out on tour again until it closed in America. Yeah.
What's that love, the touring life? I mean, Broadway's got to be hard enough, but I mean, that's like, you know, 4 days in one town or something like that.
Yeah. New York is hard and touring is hard.
Okay. Yeah. And you're, so yeah, you're still doing your heart. It.
Yeah. So a friend of mine did a post and he, you know, had he moved to LA and then he recently moved back to New York and he said, yes, I'm back reconnected with the mental illness known as musical theater. And I hollered laughing. But yeah, New York, you know, because you're here, you are at the apex of Broadway, at the apex of theater doing Broadway, and you're making still less than what's seen as a middle class wage in New York.
Yeah.
And then on tour, yes, touring can be great when it's like, I think, sit downs in like great cities and stuff like that. But you essentially have no days off when it's like a 1 week city tour, because then Monday, the day off, is the travel day. And if there's a problem with the flight, you're all day at the airport and sometimes have to stay and then fly in on Tuesday. Then you open that night.
People used to ask, say, the Beatles, you know, when they were touring, you know, well, what did you think of Cincinnati? And it's like, I didn't see it. You know,
right,
I saw the airplane in the car in the hotel.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a clip of Michael Jackson saying, I love to tour, and you can tell he's lying. Everybody laughs.
I want to say one more time that, that the version of What's Going On you do is just was just so profound. And that record, as you talked a lot about how Marvin cut that album, which is a great story, is so layered. There's so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you listen, there's people going, in the background on that tune. It's
right,
very
and that's
cool.
What Marvin did while he was recording, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Marvin's whole, I don't know if you could really hear what I just did, folks, but we'll let that one go. But when you did it, it was just cool because it was like this, like, got right to the core of what the song is saying. And
yeah.
I really felt that. And I'm not just blowing smoke at you. I really, I really did feel that. And you did, and, you did a later Michael Jackson song. I'm not telling titles, folks. Uh-huh. You've got to go see this.
But What's Going On, it's funny you mentioned that because, right before we did the first show, I told the band that I was contemplating cutting that song because I just wasn't sure how it would read or translate.
Oh man, it's a highlight of the show. Don't cut it.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, I'm not cutting it anymore. But you know the climate today, and you know, and all the things that are going on. I was like, oh, and then I was like, okay, that's exactly why the song needs to be sung. And so I just grounded myself in the message and just, you know, allowed myself to go to a space and share it, and the audience is just right with me, so I'm so grateful.
What's that? Here's another "What's that like?" question. I got a lot of those. To be up there for that amount of time with no other cast members, you know, and it is like a concert situation where it's basically you got your guys there. They don't really talk. It's you for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, especially with a bunch of, you know, older white people like me who are you know, it's like you ever want to freeze and go, What the hell do I say next? I mean, what, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you know.
No, it's so what I allow myself to do is one thing that just helped me frame pacing and timing and all that was when I first did Motown Musical, I got sick opening week.
Oh, great.
And right. And then, so my voice was kind of like in an in-between state, and the music director was like, well, do we need to postpone your opening? And there was already like some tension there, you know, from, you know, other things that were happening, drama that's happening.
Always.
Always. Yeah. And so I was like, no, we don't need to postpone my opening. I'm going to do it, you know? And so what I told myself and how I got through the show was I said, okay, I don't know if I can do the whole show, but I know I can sing this phrase. And I continued to say that until the song was done. And then I continued again because, you know, in Motown Musical, Barry sings about 17 songs or so.
Wow.
And so I was just like, okay, I don't know if I could do the whole thing, but I can sing this next phrase. And I just kept going. And so so I continue to apply that theory, you know, when I do the one man shows, it's like, okay, let me just commit to this moment right here, right now. And then, you know, you kind of have it in mind, you know, the marathon, but yeah. you're just taking it one step at a time.
That's the power of positive thinking in mm-hmm. a nutshell, yeah. I think. Yeah, I can do this, and let me just take it from here to here.
Yeah.
And then you always know what the next step is.
Yeah.
You mentioned somewhere that you're a digital creator, and you said something in the show about things that you – tell me about that. There's something I want to talk about your music, but okay. but you also are a writer.
And so I create the last in the pandemic. I've discovered content creation, and uh-huh. so I've been enjoying making content almost daily for social media and things like that. And uh-huh. it's been another form of art expression. It originally started as a check-in during the pandemic. I did this thing called March to Wellness during the month of March, and I made myself post every day asking questions, seeing like, how's everybody doing? How are you doing?
Yeah.
Here's some things that can help. Here's some things that have been useful for me. And then after that, I was like, let me, continue. And so I just started, I challenged myself to create daily and just express myself. And then it's turned into a whole nother lane for me as well.
You still do that?
Yeah, yeah. Still been doing it. Yeah, yeah.
Because we're going to say the pandemic is past for now.
Yeah.
And, that's the power of positive thinking
yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
You are chess. Do we say it? Chess?
Chess.
Uh-huh. Chess. Okay. Yeah, that is your music, your musical artist name.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that. Yeah. Tell me about that. You've got, two albums out?
Yes. So, I have multiple albums and projects under my birth name, Chester Gregory.
Yeah.
But the problem is a lot of times people will be like, oh, I love your music. I play your music all the time. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that. As a independent artist, that means a lot to me.
Sure.
And I'm like, what do you listen to? And it's like, oh, Tarzan soundtrack. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, Disney got that check. Disney got those streams, not me. I was like, so.
Did you say Disney got that check?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Those streams and all that stuff. Yeah. So, I don't get any, those of us who were hired, musical theater under Disney or anybody else, we don't get anything from them.
So chess is like your alter ego.
So chess is my, it's my, authentic expression, because the music I do is nothing like any of the Broadway music that I've recorded before or anything like that. So I wanted to have a separate lane, for my artistic expression. So Chess as an acronym, is the album, and it's called Retrograde. So yeah.
What happens if Chess takes off and you just don't have time to go do another show?
Oh yeah.
Can you give up theater if you have to?
That's fine with me, yeah.
First, folks.
Yeah, yeah, right. I've sung, I'm grateful, but I've sung, Lonely Teardrops and, Jackie Wilson music, Motown music for over 20 years. So if the next 20 years of my music, then great. I'm cool
with
that.
Well, it would be nice for all of us would be if it was a combination of the two, because I don't think musical theater wants to lose you. Our guest today has been Chester Gregory, who is in a Motown celebration. Well, he is a Motown celebration through September 10th at Free Fall Theater, and that is Free Fall Theater. .com. That's theater with the R-E, the way it's supposed to be spelled. What's your website?
My website is chestergregory.com, and the same handle for all social media.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic talking to you today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And, broken legs, all whatever the expression is, all the way to the end of the run.
All the way. Let's go. Yeah.
All right, man. Take care now.
All right. Thank you.